All right, it's 4:30, and I'm very grateful that you stayed this long. I did not expect that many. I do not know how many of you have seen me present before. Any raising of hands? One. There might be a big overlap with what you ever saw before. So I just want to give you a heads up. There are a few new things, but there are quite a few things that I want to repeat and what I want to talk about. The other thing, marketing went, and I'm part of marketing, but I was not responsible for that, went a bit overboard with the description. How many of you did bring your iPad? How many of you have Link installed on there? Ooh, many of you as well. Okay, because it says bring your iPad and we can do some demo. Maybe I have to ask for a volunteer in a moment to actually do the demo, but I will show you then a little bit on how it works when we are coming to the demo. What I intend to do this time is not talk about code, not talk about anything, but just demo. And that, as I thought, because I don't have that many people as you are, was relatively low risk if you are not here in this big quantities. But you have to understand and bear with me that there might be a lot of chances where things go a little bit with a hiccup. So I'm going to ask for forgiveness in advance, because if you're doing this, it is asking for risks. But essentially, I'm going to show, about 10 demos of how you can use the Microsoft platform around Link inside your business applications. And with this, I hope to inspire you to actually start thinking of scenarios that might be worthwhile also exploring inside your enterprise or might be exploring for you as a developer. How many of you are developers? Only a few. Okay. I will in the end tell you what are the SDKs that this is built on, but it's indeed very, very interesting. The demos that I'm going to show are essentially grouped around three purposes. How you can essentially make communication between people more effective. How you essentially can use the Link platform to do outbound. And how you can use the Link platform to do inbound. Inbound, also very often known as customer care. Outbound, very much known as alerts, notifications, finding an expert. And the collaboration is very much about how you can actually convey context with when you are essentially contacting and collaborating with the others. So I'm going to try to do everything from one laptop. So it will be hard in a moment to maybe see all the different personas that are in the demos, but I'm trying to take it very slow. And if I'm going fast, you just raise your hand or shout, and I will try to explain a little bit more in detail. But in a nutshell, I'm going to show you 9 basic capabilities of this Link platform. You can change the present states. You can embed wherever you like this click to communicate. You can, when you communicate, transmit context from one person to another or in a group. You can do notifications and alerts. You can make those notifications using speech technology interactive so that you confirm that you actually have heard what has been said. I'm going to show an expert finder that you can download as well, actually, and can deploy. Most of these are actually downloadable or part of our SDK. I'm going to show you how you essentially can use web chat in your application, how you're going to be able to do query response bots, and how you can do interactive voice response. And in that, actually, I'm going to show you what we are just about to deploy in MSIT around interactive voice response that is visual. It's a visual IVR. So let's talk about the first point, when we are essentially trying to convey that. When I still remember when I started in this group, and it was very much in the beginning, right? So I've been in this group more or less in different incarnations for about 10 years. And when we were talking about, hey, what is now different about Link from any other telephone system or communication server, as it was called at that point in time? Not many people understood that. In the first conception of our business people was, hey, well, we are talking about Microsoft and the desktop, and there is, of course, a lot of stuff that we have done around the PC, but that phone, right? that phone, we have never touched that phone. That is a business opportunity. And therefore, there were people in our organization that were saying, hey, it is actually worthwhile going after that phone. And one of the things that actually struck me was that when you are starting to think about what you can do with the phone, is that at that point in time, many people thought about the phone experience as a remote controlling of that phone. You actually see that still a lot with our competitors. But I still remember that when we essentially were in this review with our big sponsor, our big financer, Mr. Bill Gates himself, he looked through all our slides and he was looking, oh, wow. And you have to imagine that I was an absolute nobody. There were very highly paid, very capable people there who had put together that deck. And he was flipping through those slides and getting more and more agitated. And then he, at a certain point in time, asked, hey, guys, what is your strategy here? And people tried to answer, and you could see him almost blow up. And he said, no, our strategy is software. And this actually was a very big eye-opener. Because instead of essentially trying to imitate the phone, you have to understand what we are doing. We are trying to make communications a part of the tool set inside software. And the most funny thing actually came thereafter, because he asked thereafter, and what is our strategy 3 years from now? And then people shut up, right? You don't dare to speak anymore at that point in time. And he said, more software. And that's where essentially you guys come in, because you need to start thinking about how you essentially can use communications inside your software. And you also have to think about what incredible transition is going on at this point in time. So I always dare to say that currently you're very familiar with when you grew up with the fixed telephone. You also have now had this whole pleasure of the mobile telephone. But what is happening now is essentially there is going to be a third network. And this third network is like Skype is, like even more than what Skype is. It is going to be communications in the richest form of the word. I hope you're all familiar with Link, because Link is not only IM. It's not only a phone call, but it can also be a video call, and it can also be collaboration, desktop sharing. It's going to be that experience that is going to be completely carried over the internet. And that is essentially, if you want to be part of that, you don't need to think anymore about that phone. When the people in our organization were thinking in the first generation of our product, they were thinking about, okay, I'm on my desktop, I type, and then I swivel to my phone, and I pick it up. But there was no way to essentially integrate that phone with that desktop. So when you are starting to build a platform from scratch, like Microsoft had the luxury of doing in 2002, 2003, and furthermore, you essentially had this luxury of essentially building a platform that included all those modalities and was completely data network driven. Not like those people who are in the voice over IP market, and I will come back to that in a second, but because there is something important that I need to say from a marketing perspective, but not like those who are doing voice over IP. In voice over IP, you're trying to imitate the phone. No, what we are trying to do is essentially give you the tools, and that will become more and more tools, like I said, more software is our strategy, over time, to essentially build communications inside your application. So before I actually go on, let me actually do a quick demo. And I did not start this one, so I have to pop up my window for 1 second. I'm starting a small application called The Essence of Presence. You can actually download that as well. It's on one of our websites in gotuc.net. Let me see if it starts. But what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to change the present state. So the most important thing that we have inside Microsoft is that you associate every name with what we call a SIP URI, or essentially an abstraction, an ID that essentially is no longer a phone number. And in that SIP URI, you essentially can see things like the contact card, right? So if I have a customer here, you've got myself, I'm out of the office, or here you've got Manish, he is busy at this point in time. What you also see is whether people are available or not. So Sergey is happy to assist me. But myself, I am currently out of the office, and that's about it, what you can see there. One of the interesting things here is that, do you know that actually that string is customizable for your software? So in what you can do with it is you can make it context dependent. Like, for example, if I were a doctor, I can say I'm in the operating room. Or if it's an object, like, for example, we have one of our customers that is in logistics that has trucks. They represent the trucks also with their own present state, and they can say this truck is on the loading deck. This truck is essentially able to or is delivering something to the customer. So with other words, whatever I have as information here, like my availability around the state of what I'm in, my picture, the bar here at the side, I can customize that. And this little tool that we have here actually is an illustration of that. Like, for example, in the evening, my only hobby that I nowadays have is watching a movie. So working for Microsoft, you get a bit of a slave. Now, at this very moment, you saw that my state changed after I pressed this button, publish, watching a movie, to the state available. And actually, if you look at the picture, you can now actually also change the picture. So it has a little film roll there. Or if you now, and that's what I'm doing here, I'm presenting at TechEd. If I would publish this one, you can actually see people don't even think about contacting me. I'm presenting at TechEd. But think again about how you essentially can use that inside your own context, right? The context is what you actually present. Now, I get very often asked, okay, hey, can you also change the state of where you are, so the location? That is actually not possible. We do not have a hook in our API to set that presence. I also get asked by those people who are working in the telephony world, can you actually use SIP to do this? Because what I just did is I essentially used the managed API that we have to set that presence, and that is our preferred way. And I must say that only in certain cases, if you are a PBX, you actually can do that over a SIP message as well, if you are interrupting. But what you have to remember is that this string about do not disturb presenting, and I don't want to change it, by the way, to this state of do not disturb, right? Like you have here this state of do not disturb. If I publish that very quickly, you'll see that I actually changed my state here. If I publish it right, come on. Urgent interruptions only. Oh, because I am his on his trusted list. But otherwise, you will see here this forbidden thing. So you can customize this present state. I'm now presenting and do not disturb. I do not set myself to really do not disturb because I'm going to do another demo where I want a bot to call me. And as soon as I am on do not disturb, no one can call me anymore. It will all go to voicemail. So like I said, you can download that from gotuc.net, and you can actually take a look at it on how you can use that internally. It's a very powerful API. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. Now, when you are communicating and you have got this click-to-call, and you can embed this click-to-call inside your application, you essentially would like to offer some more value, right? So you would like to be in that, what I always call, conversation with your APIs. The most obvious example that we have of that is a conversation translator. So let me actually pop up the communicator again. Here there's a guy called Manish. Manish is busy. But what many people do not know is that in this conversation window of Manish, there are apps that I can build in. And one of those apps, let me actually show you first the most simple one. So I do not know what is the postal code for this guy, but here in Orlando. But imagine that I am in Redmond, and I search this, and I found that it's in Redmond. I could actually get what is the weather on his side. This is a little application. I can get some information about what is going on around him. That's just one example of that little app. But more, I spoke about that you can put yourself in the actual conversation as an API. You can essentially say, okay, hey, I am going to speak Dutch, that is my nationality. This guy is going to speak English. And I can start IMing him. So I can say, hello, which will translate into hello, and I send it to him. Now let me actually go to OWA that I had open. You'll see here now, if I dismiss this one, there's actually an IM that has come in. And this IM says hello. And if I now say, how are you? And I go back to my conversation, it will ask me in Dutch, hoe gaat het? So with other words, what you can do at that very moment is before it goes back and forth, you can put yourself in that conversation from your API and you can actually change whatever is going on. People ask me, for example, could I do a spell checker? Yes, you can build a spell checker here and you could control it. Can I do a spell checker in here? Nope. Unfortunately, always did not make the cut line. IM is supposed to be very quick, so spell check is not really part of it. So I'm closing this conversation. But you essentially saw that there is this window that you have on the right-hand side. And that window is very often very, very useful. I'm going to show you another demo in a second. So that's the conversation translator. Again, you can download that from the link training and planning kit on the website, and everyone can install that. Now, that was a very simple example of how you can see that the APIs can change what is going on in that conversation. A more meaningful example we have actually shipped in the client SDK, and that's a proposal tracker. Let me actually pop that up. That's a website. Here's the proposal tracker, and here you can actually see this is a Silverlight application, but we have this also for WPF, not for any other web technology yet, but use Silverlight for the time being. I can see here that I'm Tosh and that I'm busy, but Tosh and this busy is essentially in this particular application. So if I pop up my real client next to it and I say, what's happening today? You can actually see it immediately updates here in this application as well. Or if I set my state to do not disturb, it goes to do not disturb. And that was that little forbidden sign that I wanted to show just a second ago. But I'm busy. Also, my contact list is here, right? So if I go here and I do here and I actually expand it so that it looks the same, you can see the same people that are here are also the people that are here. So it is fully integrated and I can essentially embed that inside my application. Now, what was that context that I was speaking about just a moment ago? That context is essentially that you can see what is the status of all those people that are relevant. So for example, if I work on this project City in Light and I would like to see more information, I can see what is my team. So these are all the people that are in my team and I can see whether they are available and she's happy to assist me. I can start a conversation. Let me actually see who I want to start a conversation with. And on my laptop, this one always pops up behind, so I have to pop it up from before. Now, the most simple way of transmitting context is making the title of your conversation that what you want it to be about. This was about City and Light, so when I'm going to start this IM with Emma, she will know it's about City and Light. And you can actually change that, by the way, if you press Control J. That's just like in an email, you can change the subject of your conversation. Little trick. So if I now say hello, what you will see here is that I am going to transmit with this IM information about this project in the same extension window that I just showed for the conversation translator. Emma, if she was a real person, in this case she is a bot, and a bot I will explain in a second, she will see that information. So imagine if you have something that waits for an approval, you can actually transmit to the other side the approval notification and the context of what needs to be approved. Now, this information actually comes from this website. So if I try to move this out of the way a little and I try to move this contact card, this presence bubble is exactly the same as what I saw here. So people can quickly take a look on there. And yes, I'm still here. This is a bot. It's a side demo that I have, but if I ask, for example, whether we are on budget about this particular project, that bot can understand my typed text and can respond to it. It's essentially a text IVR, an interactive voice response, but for text, a query response bot. How may I help you? And I can ask whether we are on schedule. And by the way, you can see here at the top that I have changed this present string that I'm actually helping a customer. So if that is that customizable presence that I showed just a second ago, if you like that, you can also do it here while you're talking to each other via the bot. And I can say goodbye, and then she will stop bugging me, and she will go back to happy to assist me. So this is how Emma essentially is able to help me, and how you are able to transmit context, but also how you are able to embed this click-to-call in your application and can start a conversation right from within that context of which you are working. So that was the proposal tracker demo. Now, how is this used by others, right? So, for example, if you are getting a conversation from outside and you are a consultant, money means, or time means money. So this is an application that's built by Modality Systems, and what they have is they are using this extension window whenever there's an incoming IM, an incoming phone call, to pop up a window and say, hey, I know who it is, but for which project is this? Where do I need to build this to? And that's essentially what you see here on this screenshot. So you can literally see that pop up, so you have a conversation, and you can have any minute essentially booked and chargeable if you are in this consultant business. Another use of trying to essentially trying to do something completely different and change the look and feel is to completely reskin the communicator. So just a moment ago, you see all the time what our UI looks like because we thought that this was a good UI. However, think about it that you are in a company and you're building an automated receptionist. So you don't want to pop up the UI of Link at that point in time. Link is getting more and more popular, but the chances of not having someone familiar with Link is very, very high. So this particular company, Insource, they have built here a UI on top of Link that shows the different people that you can visit when you are at the reception. You can flip through, you can do search by name, and once you have found the particular person, you click on it, and on the inside, you are able to actually establish a video call, and you can speak to the person who needs to pick you up from the door, or you can say, okay, I was delivering a package, or I would like to meet with some, or I would like to speak with the receptionist after all. But on the, there was supposed to be a second screenshot. On the inside, the customer, that's to say the person that you see in this screenshot of who you would like to visit, is just using Link. So a different UI on the one side and Link on the inside. Let me give you another more extreme example of this. This is built by a partner called Proton Media. And they have built an application, Protosphere. They did exactly the same what I showed just a second ago. They took away the skin of communicator, or of Link, the Link client, and they embedded it deeply into their application. Their application is a learning application. And the purpose of this learning application, and imagine now, right, so what you see here on the screen is they give everyone, instead of a photo like we do in Link, they give them an avatar. You can build your own avatar, and like in Xbox, in let's say Halo or so, you're of course not shooting, but you're, although with this little thing here that you see, I was wondering already, what is this guy doing? But nevertheless, you're not allowed to shoot each other. But you are walking around in that environment, and within that environment, you engage with other people actually taking this training. Now, I always tell this a little bit in a charged way, so I hope that none of you are in the pharmaceutical industry, but we learned from Proton Media, in my words, not their words, they have a beautiful case study on our website, that typically those pharmaceutical industry had a lot of reps that needed to be trained. Those reps were flown down to one specific location, and that specific location, they were meeting for 2 days, supposed to learn, but it was party, 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 and the engagement was not only very expensive from the point of view that you had to pay for all the travel costs, but it was also not as effective. Now, you try to replace that potentially with a webcast. Now, I do not know what you do, but whenever I have compliance training, I actually let that webcast run in the background, and then at the end, there are the obvious answers, so I click, 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 click the answers, and I'm done. Sorry, this was not supposed to be recorded. But nevertheless, so they found essentially as Proton Media, if we build this Protosphere application, and we make people, make it fun for those people to come into that meeting room, to move around, meet with other people using your avatar, you are engaging people, or with my words, you have to move those puppets around so you cannot walk away, right? So that is the purpose. You have a very engaging way of how to train people, and you have a very effective underlying technology that's powering this. Because for the audio, it is Link. For the whole interaction with each other, it's using the backbone of Link to transmit this information from one side to the other. So this virtual collaboration is extremely popular in that learning environment, but you can think of 1,001 other uses. Let's talk about, so this was all about enhancing communications between people, right? Now let's talk about a little bit, if you are integrating communications in your business process. With other words, you're trying to cut down human latency through communications. There is a decision that needs to be taken, and you need someone to act now. Now, the most obvious one of that is essentially doing a reminder, setting a reminder for yourself, right? So we have inside Microsoft a bot called Uti Corp. And I do not know if this is working with the persona that I'm logged in at the moment. I did not test that because I wanted to do that from the other machine, but that has not been updated regularly and therefore is not accepted as a client on our network. But here we've got this bot. It's a UCMA bot that is built on this UC managed API. And when I start it, it will give me the options of what I can say. Now, in order to print it in the right format, because I'm a European and I always do this date the wrong way around, let me actually copy and paste the string as I need to do it. So we go back to Shift-F5, we go back to this bot. Here I've got all those options. I can have it actually call me back on my cell phone number, or I can do it as a text-only reminder. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have this bot call me and tell me, stop presenting at Pacific time 14:30. That's a 15 minute before the actual end of this presentation. And at this very moment, it creates a reminder in a database. And at this particular time, when we 15 minutes before we are supposed to stop with this presentation, it will actually is going to give me a call. Now, the only thing why I'm showing you this is, of course, not to show how we have this inside as a little tool that we use, but it is because you can make Link call you from within any business process that you have, and you therefore can cut down what I called this human latency. This particular bot is going to call me at this particular time. And I'll do this in a moment again when I'm logging out to another persona, but bear that in mind. At this particular time, it will start calling me. Now, how can you use this? This is how, for example, LA Fitness uses this. LA Fitness had this problem that when things started breaking down that it took a long time before the approvals were there to have it repaired. It's obvious that it needs to be repaired, but there is someone to actually repair that. So they wrote this bot, and this bot actually reaches out to the people and makes the people approve it. So you get the bot to reach out to you. You get presented all the details about what needs to be approved, and you can ask some people for further information so they have in there, for example, who requested it, etc. You can look at the documents, and you can take an action. So again, this is a business process that they have, where they can use communications to speed it up. Now, this is more critical, for example, if you are in the utility space, right? This is an application built by a company called Aftax, and this company is helping utilities to assemble crews in case things go down, right? So especially in my state, whenever it's snowing, all the electricity goes down and there's a lot of misery. I never knew, but when you have electricity go down, you need to assemble a crew with a foreman, with this and that, all those different roles. Now, in the past, it used to be a human being that is going to call all the different people and ask them whether they have time available and can be part of this crew. Aftax replaced it by a bot. Now, this looks very different, right? This is like a bot on steroids, where you essentially see all the different phone calls go out and assemble this crew while you're watching at the screen. So you've got a case that is being locked, and this case is being locked, and you can then go out and assemble that crew. Or this is a system that is now used in schools, but started off It's called Firelinks, and it's called MessageLinks now. It's by an Australian company. And this Australian company started with, okay, hey, if there is a fire, a bushfire in Australia, we need to notify all the people who live nearby. Again, used to be a manual process where there was this phone letter that everyone started calling each other, a phone tree. That is what you call it, I think. We call it letter in Dutch, but nevertheless, you call everyone. And you ask them whether they are okay or whether they are affected by the fire. Again, automated process that tries to, as quickly as possible, reach out. Like I said, it's currently sold to education by this company. Every school has students that do not show up for school. Now, what in most schools is the case, that someone in that school starts calling the parents, where is the student, or at least let them know that the pupil did not show up for that day. So if you use this system, it's essentially an automated system that can do exactly the same. Not as alert or as acute as a bushfire, but it can save a lot of time to people, and it speeds things up. Like I said, here in this particular case, there's an outbound call. You can actually also make that an instant message that comes out, and you can confirm that you have successfully called the people that are using the tools. More acute is, for example, if you are in an ambulance or in a fire truck, right? So this is a company called Fortec, and they do not only do this outbound, but they can see on their map when there is an emergency reported, what are the cars nearby? I never knew before that all those cars nowadays have a PC in there and are connected to the internet. So they also have actually Link running. Most of the cars there have Link running. And what they do is they see what are the cars that are in the neighborhood, and they place them not in a one-on-one call with the bot. No, they actually put them into a conference call with each other. And in that conference call, when they invite everyone who is in their neighborhood, they can establish very, very quickly on who is the most near or the most equipped to respond to that emergency. So, with other words, they are able to bring down that whole latency to, what used to be 7 minutes to less than 2 minutes before they essentially had to wait for a long time before they could respond. So this is how technology can help cut down that human latency. Now I need to log out for a moment because, like I said, I could not get my client to work on the other machine and log in as a Microsoft employee. One of the samples that we published in the training and adoption kit is a variant of this that is very relevant for the enterprise market. It is an expert finder. And the expert finder finds people who can answer questions about a specific topic. In this particular case, for example, you can see here the bot. And this bot is connecting the crowd, as we call it. It's called crowdsourcing, the experts that know everything about Office 365. But it's based on this sample that we have published. And let me actually show you what it looks like when you're looking at it from a Microsoft perspective. We have a website in Microsoft where people can register themselves as an expert. And on this website, if it was willing to open, you can profile yourself on what are the specialties that you have. So very different from what I showed just a second ago. Like I said just a moment ago, here, this is a bot that can only answer questions about Office 365. So if I start a conversation here with this particular, oh, that was not my intention. This is the I am an expert. Give me one moment. So if I start a conversation here, it will ask me, hey, are you asking me a question or what? Please tell me something. Let me actually show you now what it looks like in the more generic form. In the I'm an Expert website, you can profile yourself. So there are currently about 4,000 people that have signed up in I'm an Expert. The average response time is pretty short. It's about 2 minutes and 31 seconds. And typically, the quality of those responses is very high. Imagine that you have almost like a forum that people immediately will give you an answer. And in here, you can actually profile yourself. So on my particular profile, I have outlined what my specialties are. First of all, I put in the link to my blog. And I also have the capability of putting in keywords that I would like to be found by. And by the way, if you don't like it, you can suspend yourself or you can disable yourself, so you can always opt out. But I can also say I have no limitation to how many people can ask me questions and how many questions per day I can ask. I don't have any limitations on how often I want to be disturbed. I can set what is the group that I'm part of, and I'm here part of the largest group that there is, but there are a lot of subgroups, little communities that have built themselves, and they can help each other. I can reveal my identity when I ask. I can reveal my identity when I answer. And I can also store the transcripts on this website. So essentially, I'm going to build an FAQ. I'm going to show you that in a second. So when I'm now going to I am an expert, here's the I'm an expert bot. And I ask a question, what is CEBP? It will now go out to everyone who has the word CEBP in their profile. But not to everyone at the same time, of course. It actually, in our particular algorithm, it takes 7 people at the time that it starts reaching out to. And if those 7 people do not answer within 15 seconds, they go to the next 7 people, and then to the next 7 people, and to the next 7 people, until they have found someone that is able to answer my question. Now, typically, there is an answer relatively quick because they know who I am, but in this particular case, they are still waiting for experts. But let me actually show you what happens after you answer the questions. So here are the, and if there's any NDA information, I have to click this away very quickly. This is the question that I just asked. And so how do I request an SC demo to host me or host to me? When is Link 15 coming out? That's, no, it was answered, but I'm not going to click on that one. Okay, what firms do we recommend to deploy? So you can see here, let me actually see, let me click on this one. What is the demo? And there is no answer to this. Hey, that's strange. Let's go back to the question. Did it say that it was not answered? Oh, that was dumb then for me to show that. Yeah, that was the one that had no answer. This is an NDA demo. How many people in a Link conference? On-prem, what type of hardware? So here you can see here, they did not give the answer, but most likely they have spoken to each other to actually do that. Let me see actually if there is an answer. Yes, here there is. Hi there, CEBP is communications demo. And there is someone giving me an answer. I can say thanks. I was doing a demo. So, by the way, do you know what CEBP is? Everything that I was just discussing about how you can put communications in your application, Gartner dubbed that CEBP, communications-enabled business processes, or communications-enabled business applications. So that is what it is. By the way, here you can also immediately rate this answer. So this was the right answer, so I give him a 5, because all those people who are here, they can actually earn points. And if you are a good answerer, your score is 6,075 points. So this guy, and he asked 2 questions, but he answered 101 questions with a 4.7 average. So it's a good trick to mobilize the know-how that you have. Now, I can actually do and take a big risk. Do I have much time? Shall I take a risk and show you how it could be used? The most simple answer, by the way, on how it is used by Microsoft is if you go to Xbox. I do not know if there's a website called xbox.com. Let's go there for a moment. On xbox.com, Microsoft is using this I'm an expert for outside, for people who have questions about their Xbox. Something is wrong. Tray doesn't close, those type of things. You can see that the internet is very, very slow. What happens in that particular case is that we have signed up about 15,000 geeks. I hope that anyone who is participating in this program and is referred to by a geek is not offended. But you can go to support, and you have the option then to what they call ask an ambassador. And the ambassador is the nice word for the geeks, people who know a lot about Xbox. So instead of a customer calling the Microsoft customer care, we ask the customer to open up this ambassador, and I have to find it because they have changed it where it is. You see ambassador somewhere? Let me see where it is. Here, contact us. Let me see if it's under contact us. What type of issue you have? No, there is no contact us here. But trust me, if you browse around on this website any a little bit more than I did, there is this ambassador that actually can help you. What happens is there, in that particular case, a window pops up on your website. You can ask the question. And on the receiving end, the ambassadors are not using Link, although everything is powered by Link, but they are using Live Messenger, and they will use Skype as soon as that becomes available. And they can answer the questions to the customer. Now, all those conversations go via Link, so we can actually see whether there is anything fishy going on, like customer geeks asking for customer credit cards and those type of things, so we can block those. But the essence of it is that we are not getting those calls to our contact center, but by the people are helped in a very satisfactory way by people who really have passion for the product of Xbox. And it saves us, there's about 850 questions that are answered per day. So not massive, but, and that's likely because you cannot easily find it on the website, but you can actually save a lot of money because of this, right? And that's actually also a demo that I have here. So let me go to show you that. I'm not going to take a risk. I'm going to go off script, right? So here you've got a skinned version of this I'm an expert. This for a company called Fabricum. And in this particular case, our friend, Justin, who is logged in here. Let me see if I can go to full screen. Let me see how fast it is. If it's too slow, I cannot do it because the network is so slow. If I go to my profile, I can sign up to become an expert. This is essentially the download that you can do and deploy inside your own company as well, right? So we have skinned it a little bit, and you can change the pages. You can say, okay, hey, what are the things that you would like to be an expert on? You have the identity, all the stuff that I showed you just a second ago. There's nothing different about it. But I'm going to do it in a smart way this time. I'm not going to give keywords, but I'm actually going to refer to the blog of this particular guy. So he knows a lot about HDMI cables. He knows about DLNA, those type of things that are the things that he knows about. So let me see if I can copy this URL. Go back to where I'm profiling myself. And instead of putting in keywords, I'm just going to have the I'm an expert dynamically build cues or know-how from my particular blog. So I just plug in that URL of my particular blog, and then I'm going to sign up. From this, oh, do I want this? Yes, yes. And see, this was not a very demo-proof thing. So I'm going to sign up here at this particular case. Now, if I am a user, I have now this expert. I have to give it a little time. I hope it works. I'm going to switch to the other user to show you what is the customer experience, right? So let's go here. Let's go to Carrie. Carrie is, first of all, is someone who is inside the enterprise. Let's start with that scenario. Let me again go full screen. But if I have asked a question to the answer desk, that is that application that I just signed up for as Justin, and I'm going to ask, does Windows Phone 7 support DLNA? Ha! Okay. Unfortunately, the bot is not running. Otherwise, it would have answered. So here goes the end of the demo because shall I start it quickly? Let me quickly start it. Give me 1 second. Now logged in as the administrator. Oh, but I'm logged in as the administrator. 1 second. Here, I have to log in. Choop, 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 choop. This always happens when we are pushing out updates, which happened yesterday, because then the machine doesn't automatically restart. Let me actually skip this demo. It was a little bit off track anyhow, so let's go back to the official. I'm an expert. You guys can download it. You can use it inside your own company. You can make good use of it. Now let's talk about the inbound communications, right? So just a moment ago, expert finding, outbound, etc. Let's take a look at a few of those demos. Now, one of the most easy demos that I have, by the way, is one bot that we have inside Microsoft. This is the SE bot, and I can ask this SE bot questions like, Let me first say hi to the bot, because this is using a user endpoint. This is a bot that is used inside Windows to find out who's responsible for something, what is the status of particular bugs. So if I would not know a bug number, I could type it in, and it will let me know exactly what is going on with this particular bug. So I can also ask more or less sensitive things, like, for example, weather. And it will give me the weather. So it is how we use this, or who is. So here you've got all my details, people who work for me, my phone number, my room. Did I understand me correctly? Yes, you did. So this is how you can use bot technology to find and dig into to databases and find information for me. Let me actually log out from this particular. 1 second, I'm going to sign out. I'm going to log in as the other person again. No. Okay, this is for the other demo in a second. So this is a very simple way of, I'm 1 second too early. Give me 1 second, sorry for this. I should have looked first on what is the, I have to log in as. So this is a very simple demo on how you can use a bot. We have another bot that essentially connects you with the help desk inside Microsoft. Let me show you that. And we did something there that is supposed to speed up the whole process of the IVR. We have got this bot, which is called IT Link. So link yourself to IT. And when you pop this up and you say hi, it presents you with what I used to be able to call as an IVR. So I'm calling it as an IVR. And then I was able, welcome to Microsoft Help Desk. For the connectivity, press 1. For Outlook and PowerPoint, press 2. On average, it would take you about a minute to actually get through this menu and select it. What we did now here is build a visual variant of it. So people do not need to call it anymore. They still can call it, by the way. I could make a phone call to it as well. But if I have a particular question about Outlook, or, of course, let's just have a question about Link. If I have a question about Link and I press select, it's actually calling this particular help desk, and it audio should be on. The audio is not on. But if I accept this call, I will be actually connected to the help desk. And the audio is still not on.
Mobile help desk. My name is John. Will this be a new or existing service request?
Thank you. I'm actually doing a quick demo. Sorry to disturb you.
Okay.
So this is a real system. So what you saw here, we got connected to the help desk. You missed the ringing and part and so on because the audio was gone down. But you understand how this can actually, just by telephone cost alone, right? This saves Microsoft $52,000 a year. Just having this, instead of calling in and speaking or pressing the keys, $52,000. And in productivity, it takes me down from a minute to just a few clicks. And if you have your Windows tablet with Windows 8 on it, you can also do this, of course, with touch. It's just an example, again, of a tiny, tiny little productivity tool that still can save considerable amounts of money, right? So. Like I said, and by the way, you can go back as well in case you change your mind and you can say, okay, I've got a question about Windows 8 or about security and updates, etc., and I can start the call again. But it's using that same extension window that you have. This is for use for everyone inside Microsoft. I like it a lot. So now I have to log out for my next demo. Let me actually see what is the next demo. Yes, this is the large demo. I've got about 20 minutes left. This is a demo about how you can use Link inside the contact center. So let me actually log off, sign out, and log in as a contact center agent of a particular topology that we have. And I'm busy here at this point in time. That is the right thing, because I'm now going to a website where we have built an experience for the contact center. In this particular experience, let me make the screen a little bit smaller so that you can see we are selling cell phones. Now, steal of a deal, $99 for the Nokia. You also can buy the other phone still. You can see I did not spend a lot of time, but only updated this particular picture, because that is what our demo is about. What we have done is we have integrated here a web chat client. This particular one is based on Silverlight. If the other demo would not have failed that I introduced for a second, it would have shown exactly the same experience in HTML, HTML5. But in here, you can pop up a connection. Because if I click on this one, it will know that I clicked on this link around HTC. Or if I click here, it will know that it's about Nokia. That's why we have built all those links in here in this particular website, so that you know what the customer is actually going to ask you about. For this particular case, if I say, OK, I would like to chat with an expert, and I can, this is an anonymous scenario, so let's keep it for one moment like that. Let me actually see who can I call. Well, you will get my phone, my voicemail in a moment. Well, I could have used my cell phone. So I use the SIP URI because that's how Microsoft people like me who work in the link team think nowadays. But you could have put in a phone number here as well. I'll show you that in a second. And at this very moment, it knows that I'm going to contact the sales force of this particular website about a Nokia phone. It's written by a Frenchman, this demo, so cell phones is spelled as one word, so you have to remember that for later in the demo. And this particular company has an agent called Tosh that is a specialist in selling Nokia phones. The moment that this guy goes available, he's going to effectively report for duty to this ACD that is built on the Link platform. This ACD, that's an automatic call distributor. It essentially has queues for each and every one of the know-hows that there exist in your company, and in this case, Nokia and a cell phone. And it is going to be able to connect me to this customer via instant messaging. So a bot reaches out to this agent and says, hey, I've got a particular call about cell phones, Nokia. Would you like to answer this? And the moment I say yes, I'm going to be connected to that particular customer. Let me move it out of the way a little bit so that you can see the full experience. But what I see here is that the customer clicked on this Nokia phone. That's the context that I do from a data dip, and that can connect now to my customer. And I'm now connected. So if I say, hi, Nokia, at this very moment, in an anonymized way, by the way, here I'm Tosh, but the customer only sees me as a got UC agent. That person can see what is the particular case. So you have here now a little ACD and little contact center that can do this via IM. Now, at this very moment in our current version of our product, we do not enable that you can do a voice call. So we essentially are using the parallel network of the telephone calls that you have to, if you ever would like to speak to this person in person. So what happens here is exactly the same as what happened just a second ago for when I did this visual IVR. The moment I press call me here, it will start connecting me. Oh, and it will not connect because I'm calling my voicemail. I should have put in my phone number. So let me see if the voicemail picks up and I can leave a message. But just a moment ago, you saw in that other client that here I will get an incoming phone call as soon as this outbound phone call is established. But the outbound phone call, because I put my voicemail in there, will never be established. So let me actually hang this one up. Let me do a different demo of this. But you can see here that at this very moment, I am able as an agent to help this particular customer who is an anonymous customer. Now, you might have a scenario where you do not want to help anonymous customers, where you have a customer portal where you know who is going to be calling, right? So that's what I'm going to show you now. I'm logging in into the website. I'm going to be the user Kelly K. I'm going to log in, and I'm now a known customer. So in this particular case, I'm going to see every detail about my particular account. So I can see here, OK, I'm Kelly. This is the phone. Ha, maybe I have to renew. What I wanted to show here is that you can see presence of the different queues. Let me see if it refreshes. Toop, 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 toop. Let me see if Chrome behaves better. would be bad if this demo fails. So I'm going to log in. And then go to my account. Is it able to load? Yeah. Sorry, IE, not so good. Well, the HTML compatibility here. Oh, here it is actually as well. Sorry. No bad word about IE. And especially, I should have upgraded to IE9, but I did not. Right? What you have here, however, is a different experience. So what you see here is a presence icon not for one person. It's a presence icon that aggregates a group of people. And in that particular group of people, anyone, just like in I Am an Expert, can be contacted. So what you see here is exactly the same. So if I would contact the help desk, like, for example, hey, this Nokia phone is backordered. I would like to find out what's going on with that. I pop up that same window. By the way, now it, let me actually put in my phone number here. What is it? 1-212-851-6663. So I'm going to connect. Press OK. Boom. Let me see actually if my phone is still on because you're supposed to turn it off. Yeah. How many minutes do I have? Still 50 minutes. Change to establishing. Come on. Don't crash on me. Here we are. Like I said, it was written by a Frenchman, so I have to spell it in a French way. I now get asked those same questions that the IVR asked me when I would call this visual IVR, right? So I have to answer now, cell phones, written as one word, because that is what the grammar is, but you could have changed it. And then it will say, okay, what brand of phone are you interested in? I'm interested in a Nokia phone. Please hold while we connect you. Now I have to go back to me being an agent, right? Because it just a moment ago, I did not click on this context sensitive link, but I just clicked on help desk. So I need to find out, okay, hey, what is this particular customer calling for? And by the way, I could have made a phone call as well. I'm going to show you that in a second. The moment that I go available again here in this particular case, the bot will contact me and I will say, yes, I can help you. Now I will get the information also about the particular customer. So I see here that there are two phones available, but I can also see, okay, hey, here there's the customer information that I pulled from the CRM database. And I can type again, so I can say hi and blah, 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 blah. That's, so you have a context going on. Now, what is the most interesting case in this particular case is that in very many cases, you have an agent not being able to answer the question. You need to escalate it to someone else. You need to find a supervisor. You need to find some other expert. And that's what we implemented here also in this particular demo. So first of all, I can say, hey, customer, wait. And I'm going to put you on hold. So I'm going to put you on hold. So you have told the customer now. So I'm actually going to put the customer on hold. What happens now under the hood is that the communication path between the agent and the customer is literally disconnected. Is put on hold, like a phone call. But now, whatever I type here in my IM window would not arrive at the customer anymore. And like I said, this I currently show you this in the IM methodology, but this is just as well possible for voice. I'm going to show you that hopefully in a second. Now, I spoke about you need to escalate it, right? Now, you cannot run more than one link on one machine, so and that machine that I had there did not properly work because it was not patched. But I'm going to show you now something, again, taking a risk, not doing this as a documented feature, but I'm going to find an expert that is an expert in cell phones. Oh, here's UT Corp going to call me.
Reminder to stop presenting. Reminder.
This is another demo.
Stop presenting.
Do you remember that I sent this notification that I leave 15 minutes for question and answer? So bear with me a little bit more and let me do this demo. I'm going to look for an expert. I'm going to look for a brand, Nokia, and I'm going to escalate. So I'm now going to find an expert on this particular case. Now, like I said, I cannot log in into Link twice on the same machine. So what I did is, do you know that in Outlook, that Outlook web app, there is a Link integrated as well? This is using inside the website, right? This is using the managed API that we have to how to integrate it. There's actually a sample on CodePlex on how to build this whole web experience. Someone asked me just a second ago if I'm going to talk about it. I'm not, but you can see it's possible to create this experience. Now, this guy is busy, so he will not be disturbed. But the moment this guy becomes available, there is this same bot saying, "Brother, I would like to answer a question." So when I answer yes now, I'm going to be put into a conference with this other person. So let me actually, it's not going to go 100% well, unfortunately, so I have to fake it a little bit because this is not supposed to work. But one way or another, it comes through, so I can say hi. Let me see if hi comes through the other way now as well. It did not. So, yeah, it does, but it doesn't say Tosh here. There's a little bug there, but nevertheless. You can see that I can now talk to each other. And by the way, if I now talk, I spoke about the customer, right? The customer is in this Silverlight application. That's why you see here all the technologies. The customer doesn't see anything, right? So whatever I type here does not come through to the customer. When I, however, resume the call and I go back to Manish, he can say, "Hi, I am Manish." And here it now should. Where is it? Scroll down. Yes. Hey, I'm Anish. So I've now established this path of communication. And there's in this managed API that we have, there's an extremely fine granulated control that you can have on who can talk to whom at what point in time. And you literally, by click of a button inside Communicator or by whatever software that you write, you can control that. So you can see here now, it is I'm Manish, it comes here as the expert, it comes in, and you have established this call. Now let's take a risk again. I just put in my phone number. This is also not part of the official demo script. But once I press call me, it actually should start calling me, and this is going to fail most likely because Manish doesn't have any phone capability, but it's going to ring here on my, I'm going to answer this one, and as soon as I answer this one, it actually should start calling our friend Tosh here as well. And I should be able to talk. So you can see here that all the different communications modalities, and I'm going to hang up now, are going to be able to be. So every modality that you have is also available in this API, and you can build what we would call a multi-channel contact center on this. And there are dozens of partners that have done this, right? So this was just a sample that you can find in the SDK. It's about 10,000 lines of code that provide you with a complete infrastructure for a contact center. So let me hang up this call. Let me actually show you something also that is not part of the official demo script. But let's take a risk again, right? So I spoke about, hey, you can do IM, you can do voice, you can do video. You cannot run two link clients. But what people can do is they can start Live Messenger. And you know Live Messenger is able to do video calls. So let me actually log into Live Messenger, not as this guy, but as this guy. Let's hope we have not crashed anything in the meantime. Let's put this guy, Manish, to busy. Let's put Tosh too busy as well. Let's open an IM. Where's my, oh, here it is. Here's my Live Messenger. Ha, it is offline. Okay, yeah, I cannot do this demo, so that's good as well because I only have 10 minutes left. But if the bot were online, I do not know why it's not online, actually. I could have called this from here, and I could have actually showed you this video experience as well and have done the same experience but then via video. Unfortunately, that part do not work. Please do not give me bad scores because some demos that were not part of the original plan did not work. All right. I spoke about there are literally dozens of companies that are doing this, right? So that are offering real solutions. Like here you can see the offering from Prairie Fire, that's a North American company. You have here the link client. In order to do all the customized presence state, they essentially have put this little bar on the left-hand side In this bar, you can see what is the status of all the queues, but you can also set your presence. You have for the supervisor, I did not show in this demo, but the supervisor can actually listen in and not speak at all and not be visible at all. Like I said, there's a very fine granulated control. You can do silent monitoring, as that is called, or you can barge in and you can tell the agent what to do or what not to do. Or you can take agents out of the running, right? That's what they are doing here. They can set agents as a supervisor to an available or busy state, just as a supervisor. So these solutions are available from many of our partners here. No, there's not a second screenshot that I thought that was. But take a look on our website, and you will find many of them. And in about a month from now, there will be a lot of videos on our MSDN website on Channel 9 of each and every one of those solutions where they all show where they are unique and where they are different. But this is just one example of a company that really has embraced this unified communications platform of ours. All right, the last few minutes. Everything that I showed you just a second ago is, in a nutshell, built on two APIs, client-side APIs and server-side APIs. The client-side APIs are called the Link Managed API, Link 2010 Managed API, and the server-side API is an API that's not only used by Link, but is also used by Exchange and by SharePoint, and, of course, by Link as well. Part of Link is actually built on it. It's called the Unified Communications Managed API. Now, these two managed APIs take away a lot of the complexity, a lot of the complexity in building applications. So if you would like to integrate Link into your applications that you have, you use the client API. If you want to build server-side applications, you use the server API. That is the two referrals that I want to give you if you want to learn more. Everything that I showed you essentially is available on the web as a download, and you can play around with it. If you want to play around with it, the most effective way of actually starting with it is to download the VHDs. If you do a search for Link Developer VHDs, you will find a full set of Link, Exchange, SharePoint, and Terminal Services. And this Terminal Services has Visual Studio in there, plus all these demos that I showed just a second ago, and the source code of those demos. So if you ever want your dev or your dev yourself and you want to play around with it, just download those VHDs. Find the computer with 16 gigs of RAM, which should not be too difficult, but, and then you can start them. Now, there's one little caveat. The people who uploaded the VHDs to the MSDN website, they forgot to upload the front-end server of Link. So you have to do a search for the front-end server of Link on the IT Pro, because that's exactly the same set of VHDs, and download the front end from there. So just bear that in mind. And with that, I would like to conclude my demo expose. I hope this was okay for you. And if you have any questions, use the last 5 minutes for questions and answers. Any questions? Let me repeat the question for the recording. So the question was, hey, I updated the images in the using that little program, and I referred them to a URL. In the Link client, if you configure the Link client, there are two pictures that you can set, one through Active Directory. So if you go to my picture here, or you can set it by a URL. What I changed is the string in here. It doesn't upload it to Active Directory. Active Directory is locked down drastically, right? So you cannot change that. So, but it can actually change the corporate default picture.
Okay, and then so the reset button switches it back and just toggles
it? It takes out the URL reference in this particular case. Next question.
On your one example where you had the help desk aggregate with the wait time and stuff. On the back end, is that like set up as a response group, or how is that under the hood in terms of the configuration of the Link, agent participation and all
Link
that?
Link ships out of the box with response groups as something that you can configure as an IT admin. What I showed was not response groups. It's exactly the same DNA, but here you saw the source code version of it, where you can change anything, you can scale it up to anything, as long as you know a little bit of coding. Well, a little bit is a bit exaggerated because there's quite a bit of complexity, but there's the notion of being able to build a contact center using the managed API that we are offering is extremely simplified. So you have very simple to understand constructs. You do not need to know anything about communications, but you can just write code. Like, for example, those routes that I showed, it's literally, okay, hey, start conversation, and you can start a conversation in the way that you want. You can control the audio. It, however, is, like I said, response groups is built on exactly the same technology. It's built on this UC managed API, but what I showed today was completely custom written and is published in the UCMA SDK as well as in the Link Client SDK. The plugins are in the Client SDK. The whole heart of the ACD is published in the UCMA SDK. Any other questions?
Is the visual IVR also available for
download? I'm not supposed to speak about the next version, but in the next version, the visual IVR you can download as well. Yes. And it's very, very simple, the code. Well, it's not very simple. Let me actually tell you what was the challenge there, right? So what you saw there is that you are adding a communications modality to the IM or the touch modality. So what can happen is that there might be a lot of delays in there. So what you can see in that particular source code is to use those audio routes to essentially start the audio conversation to it as well. So what you see under the hood is that we are creating already upfront when you open the IVR, we create a little conference, and in that little conference, we are then switching the modalities in and out of that conference, the visual, IM, and the audio modality. But like I said, might be available in the future.
Now, when you put Link on a computer, does it actually embed itself into the Office product? So if you open up, you're working in Microsoft Word.
So the question is, hey, if you have Link and integrated into your software, right, is that part of Windows or is that something separate? It is the software in which we embed that there are built-in certain hooks so that everyone can do that. So if you have Outlook, it's not only Link who can do this, but it's also Live Messenger. It could also be Skype. It could also be Cisco or Avaya. Anyone can use the API hooks that we have in Outlook to do this. Now, what we have done from a Link perspective is we have, of course, built the mirrored API of that to build that functionality in any application. So Outlook has certain hooks. Link has a lot of hooks. And those two actually work seamlessly together. And if you were not Link, you can actually go to our interoperability website, and you can find the APIs to build your own messenger inside that software. So it is two sides of an API. There's the most interesting part is that Outlook is not managed code. It's unmanaged code. So effectively, it is an unmanaged version of our managed API that we are using at that point in time. You don't have to have Outlook to use it. You can use it in any application. Just like I showed in that proposal tracker, if you have a WPF application or if you have a web application like I showed in Outlook Web Access, you can build it. I refer to a sample that is available on the CodePlex website. Unfortunately, it's not available as source code. But that is a web service that is built on the UC managed API, and that web service can be consumed in any operating system. So I forgot about this whole bring your iPad. If you have the capability to effectively make this API, this managed API, available as a web service, you can also have it in the iPad, you can have it in Android. So when you download that particular code from CodePlex, you stand it up. So you have an application server that you connect with your Link server. You can service the functionality of Link, especially around IM and presence and call control, all in whatever application that you have, whether that is Windows or non-Windows. Any other questions? All right, then I have to ask you to fill out the evaluation form. There's resources, and not forget to fill out the evaluation form. And if you have any questions, come to me afterwards. I'm 13 seconds over. Thank you very much for staying so late.